Call meeting to order. Any modifications to the agenda?
I believe there was a couple of things. Let's see, we've got, we can go ahead and add what Margo's doing.
Sure, yeah.
Which is the best way to describe it?
Stormwater master planning.
What is it?
Stormwater master planning.
Stormwater master planning.
Yeah, this is Boomer Walker, that's Greg Marcucci. You can come up here if you want, Margo. I'll just introduce, Margo works for Wyndham Regional, and she's the municipal project manager on the Grout Pond Grant that we're doing. But Margo also made me aware of a new program that the state has out that, and I'll let you take it from here, because you can explain it a lot better than I can. Oh, I'm sorry.
So I just need, was there anything else to add? I don't think so, other than that, so.
I'll make a motion to add Margo to the agenda.
Second?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, then.
Okay.
I thought there was one.
Great, I'll jump in, and I apologize for my voice. I too have been sick, but it's day 11. Every day has been something new, so I feel better because I have no voice. So the state is offering municipalities a chance to have stormwater master plans completed. And stormwater master planning is a look at a community, so a townwide, look at how runoff from storm water that's coming, excess water in the landscape, is then maybe affecting erosion in certain areas, or it's causing stuff going into a stream, things like that. And the program is, right now, they have, they're looking for a couple extra communities. They have a few slots left. And the what they're offering is free to all a participating community. And it's a chance, the state hires a contractor, so someone like Fitzgerald Environmental or Waters Consulting. And the consultant works with the town to identify potential projects that are in the landscape. And so what they ask of a town is that a town will meet with them a couple of times throughout the process, maybe show them around to a couple what the town considers like potential issues. And the stormwater, and then at the end, when they've identified a bunch of projects, and then they work with the town to sort of highlight the top priority projects, they will then do 30% designs for the top three projects that are identified. So in the end, what you end up with in the master plan is a list of projects that are identified that would help with stormwater remediation in the future. And that's kind of where it ends. There is no regulatory aspect to it, and there's no, it's identified, it has to get done. What it is just a chance then for a community to say, hey, we have these projects identified, maybe we want to take some of them on, or maybe we want to work with some clean water partners, like the Conservation District, Connecticut River Conservancy, Trout Unlimited, to come in and help us with some of these projects and try to get funding to get them done. So projects that are listed in a stormwater master plan are sort of, I guess they get sort of extra points then if you go to apply for future funding, like through clean water funds. So that's kind of one of the real benefits of having a stormwater master plan done, is it sort of not only helps identify projects, but makes them a little more fundable. So what some communities too, and I think Stratton might benefit from, not necessarily you as a town, but maybe, so it's not just town-owned properties, but they kind of look at the community as a whole. They, in this case, Stratton Mountain has not necessarily signed on yet. We've asked them, but they're under their own whole set of regulations for stormwater, so they may not participate. But, you know, any of the, we've talked about this, some of the associations that were preceding some of the stormwater regulations, they might actually really benefit from something like this, because in early, you know, 2030s, there's going to be this implementation of what's called the 2030s, there's going to be the 3-acre rule. It's kind of coming down to our side of the state. And what a 3-acre rule is that properties that have 3 or more acres of impervious surface will, and if they do not have current stormwater regulation and permits, will be required to bring their properties up to compliance with the stormwater regulations. So this is currently in place in the Medford, Magog, and Champlain.
You say basins. Impervious, what does it mean?
Impervious surface is anything where water can't penetrate and percolate down.
Heavy concrete,
so
pavement, something like that.
Pavement, rooftops, parking lots that are unpaved count as impervious surfaces. Okay. So, you know, a lot of the associations probably, if they were older, that might affect them. Sometimes schools, sometimes even some town garage areas have been affected. So we're not in that. You know, again, that's currently in effect in Champlain and Magog watersheds. It hasn't come to the Connecticut Riverside yet, and they're expecting that in several years. Mm-hmm. But the benefit, again, of getting these projects identified is that you can then start working on them, and before the regulation comes into effect, there's funding. Once the regulation comes into effect, if you're a 3-acre property, there won't be funding. So that's another kind of benefit of getting these done. Now, not all properties, right, are 3-acre properties, so that won't affect it. But it's often just good to know. You know, a lot of businesses like to know, like, hey, you know, we do have this issue, and if there's a chance that I could get funding to have it completed, or towns like having some of those 30% designs done. So those are some, that's kind of the overall piece of what the stormwater master planning is. Again, it's no cost to the town, except for maybe some town staff time. You know, sometimes the road crew end up taking around some of the consultants to show them places or being in a couple of meetings. But that's the only physical kind of cost to a town. And I will say that with the changes that are coming and uncertainty in the state and federal payments and government, that this may be one of the last rounds, but they're not sure. They don't know.
There's a lot of stuff that's happening in the last 3 weeks for some reason.
There's been a lot of changes and, you know, a lot of uncertainty and a lot of stuff that we just don't know how things are going to be affected or not. Mm-hmm. But what I heard was, well, there's money now for a few more towns to get involved. Okay. They're not sure if it will be, you know, what that will look like. So now, and Stratton was one of the towns that, so a lot of the towns in the north, especially, you know, on Champlain side of things, have already had a lot of stormwater master planning. We're sort of one of the last regions of the state, but we've now, there's quite a few towns that are either had them done or in process currently. We've been sort of, and Stratton was one of the ones we were sort of saying that I was asked to approach on behalf of the state and to see if you all might be interested, let you know what it is. So I don't know, I threw a lot at you. Do you have any questions, anything you might want to know about the process?
And when did you make your decision?
There's no real timeline. But they are, Hank, who is the gentleman that works for the Vermont DEC, is in charge of the program. As soon as he hears from a town, he's starting to get that out to bid. And this is kind of a good bidding time for projects. So, you know, sooner.
What do you guys think?
But You hit on, I think the question I'm going to ask, I think you hit on this earlier, but one concern that I have is if we go forward with this and we identify 3 or 5 or 7 sites, if we don't do anything with them right away and we have another catastrophic event, is FEMA going to hold it against us in the fact that, well, you identified these sites, why didn't you do something about them? You know, because it seems like every time we have a big flooding event or something, if every culvert isn't compliant or if this isn't compliant, they want to back out of funding it. Yeah. So my concern is that we go around and look at site A, B, and C and say, I think this could be a problem, and then there is a problem. Yeah. Is that points against us?
That's a good question. And I'll just be honest, I don't know the answer.
And maybe I'm splitting hairs, but I just, well, having...
It was sort of the same thought going through my head, not to that extent.
I can say from the state perspective...
I mean, we've done the hazardous mitigation planning and stuff like that, so I think...
you kind of need for...
a lot of different things, but...
Especially for the FEMA stuff.
Yeah.
From the state perspective, absolutely no regulation associated with these plans. They are just that. They are a plan.
Okay.
But I think it's a valid question to ask Hank about the question about FEMA and whether that's ever come up or, you know, he's...
And maybe I'm off base. I know that...
Yeah. I can understand why you would have that question.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... It seems like there's... Yeah. On some of our projects, there's been some question about, you know, was this compliant before, and you know, we're only gonna fund you at the level that you had it at, but I wouldn't want to, you know,
and it's a lot,
you know, shoot ourselves in the foot basically by.
It's not often culverts may get identified, but a lot of it's like runoff from parking lots, and it's causing like an erosion channel down the stream. I just sat in on a meeting for another community where, you know, there was a big commercial development, you know, about 4 businesses, and the runoff from their property is now flooding neighbors' house.
So you get a number of rooftops together, and it creates a lot of water, in a very small area.
So
we already have a situation on County Road where I think that has happened. Yeah. I think from expansion of like Stuart Underwood's old property, we're getting water where we never had it before. Yeah. You know, I don't think it was maliciously done. It's just the way you start grading on a property and changing things, and water's going to follow its path.
So the stormwater master plans are kind of helping a community identify maybe some of those things. Mm-hmm. And as I said, you know, not all the things are even on town properties. Sometimes they're on, somebody else's property, and it's totally the landowner that has to decide whether they ever want to move forward and do something about that or not.
Yeah, but this could also potentially help, you know, a private landowner or what, you know, so. Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, as I said, the benefit right now is, you know, and I should say that the process takes a while. Like, it'll probably take 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But
if we were to get the funding, it would be to apply for town property. It's like, because you just said it doesn't cover private property remediation.
Do you mean the Clean Water Funds? Like I said, it gets you higher in the queue?
No, I think what he's asking is, like, of these 5, let's say the 5 proposed projects, could 3 of them be, you know, private properties?
Yeah, so it's whatever, so towns have different approaches when they get to, like, so they come up with a list, like, a town that I was just in a meeting for, I had 23 projects, potential projects on the list. So they went through and they talked about they tried to figure out how would they as a town prioritize these for which top 3 were going to get the 30% designs. This town actually was not just going with town-owned properties. They decided that you know, one of the properties was actually a private property that they were going to get the 30% design for. I, most towns I work with are usually prioritizing town-owned properties because it progresses that any potential project on their sites. Does that answer your question? I'm not sure I quite understood. So, yeah, okay. And if you guys want to, you know, I don't know if you can take a motion tonight or because it's an add-on to the
agenda. Yeah, wait until Alan.
Yeah, so you might want to wait until your next meeting.
Yeah, if we have another month or month and a half or something to kick it around, but, you know.
Well, that'll be at the next meeting.
Yeah, so maybe at the next meeting, you just put on your agenda officially. And if you have any questions, I can also get you in touch with Hank. Like, if you want, we can ask that question.
Yeah, it was just something that I thought of. I mean, just because it seems like...
It's
true, you know, it's like you do the right thing and then...
Yeah.
When was the regulation passed that?
The three-acre rule?
Yeah.
So, the three-acre rule, get me on the dates here because it hasn't affected us yet. It's been in effect now for a couple of years in Champlain and for Megana Basins.
Yep.
And then they were going to roll it out about 10 years later. Sometimes it's been a year or two because it's officially, they gave some warning.
I guess I'm just like, the basis for my question is, you know, like when you start thinking about like some of the older developments over at Stratton, they got 3 acres of roof.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of them.
Right.
And they're also all Act 250 and they're all covered
and
by
they,
DNR.
And they do have a stormwater remediation plan on top there, of you know, for the, in the master plan.
So,
I mean,
if
like,
it's a Stratton property, it's under its own very strict, but it was engineered, and
we got all the state permits, and we're basically a stone's throw from a class one wetland, because it became a higher wetland just about the time we started doing that project down there, so...
I can say that some of the older associations, I actually just was on a tour. I think you were actually unable to join us. And one of the associations does not have any stormwater regulation permits because they're older. And they definitely have a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to see if we can help them now with get some identification and designs done. So
and
maybe get some money.
Would part of this be, you know, the engineering firm or whomever, the consultant that does the 30% plan, part of that 30% plan is probably looking at whether or not that particular development has any permits in place?
Yeah. So one thing that, you know, so again, the plan, in general, the master plans, is an identification of projects, right? And it goes through the methodology that they use to identify those projects. And then there's the development of 30% plans on top of that for a few of the projects.
Right.
And when I was just, again, this meeting where I was just at for another town just the other week, what they did is the consultant sent the town like the potential 3-acre sites in town. So the consultant can't officially say these will be the 3-acre sites because only the A&R will make that determination at the time that it becomes regulatory.
Mm-hmm.
But
so he probably has an idea.
They have a good idea of what sites were likely to be.
One thing that kind of expands on what my previous question was that if the town was to do this and you wanted to look at private property for this, I suppose you have to get that private individual to want to play.
Yeah, if
to
you
be on board
game,
with yeah.
Instead of the town just have it looked at.
Right.
So especially if it's 30% design. A lot of their identification first comes through like a tabletop exercise, where they're, you know, looking at the maps and the drainages and things like that. Then they kind of do like a general tour around, but they wouldn't go on the property if they're not allowed. They certainly would not develop 30% designs
without somebody. Consent of a private.
And that's why I said it's usually town-owned properties because towns want that benefit.
So do you think that, like, Act 250 is aware of this as far as, and where I'm going with this is...
Act 250 aware of...
Of this stormwater plan thing.
Oh, the master plan?
Yeah. Okay, because, and where I'm going is a couple of months ago, the ski area was in here because they're in the process of updating their master plan. So I'm assuming that, I just wonder if this is going to be a surprise to them or should they already know this in going through Act 250 because that 3-acre rule might hit them in a lot of areas over there. I know like the village area has that stormwater remediation because Jeff and I worked on that a little bit with the MRGP because when he was updating that, he said.
Mentioned it to Jeff.
Yeah.
But, you know, who else has heard it and whether Jeff remembers that I mentioned it to, you know. Yeah.
Well, I know, like, he, you know, when we're updating the road erosion inventory, which we're constantly doing, he put some language in there that basically says the village area is already under a state-managed stormwater, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, like, off of our map. I really don't have to worry about any red or purple marks over there because it's pretty much handled, but I don't know how it affects Stiles Brook and Crown Point and
two.
Yeah.
So that's all
and
part.
Yeah.
What's that?
And I think Lot 2... has something because I think that's why all those separations are in there because I think that was designed by the state to be that way. Took up a lot of parking spaces, but I think they had to do it because of the runoff down towards like the school and everything else. So
yeah, areas you know are very they're under a lot of
yeah because like Josh the river guy told me he said you know a lot of these ski area developments he said it's surprising that some of these developments just with their roof water are creating problems where they never did. You know, he said all of a sudden, because he asked me one day when we were on Mount Road, he said, are you finding anything like weird? And I said, well, yeah, there's a lot of people and a lot of things. That, you know, but he said, where I'm going with that is, he said, we've had some towns like around Killington and Jay and different areas that all of a sudden it's like, where's all this water coming from? And then you start looking at the 9 acres of roof that they have that are dumping off on paved parking lots and then running down a hill somewhere. It's like, it's a lot of water, you know, and so.
Yeah, and really, you know, it's not like any of those properties are doing something like knowingly.
I don't think it's maliciously being done. It's just,
it's just when regulations came in.
Right.
And whether or not these properties were built before or after.
Mm-hmm.
Margo, do you have a like a summary of this that you know? So like when you know a paragraph or something, so we can
Was there a link in that email on the whole thing?
Just something that we can use to help Al and Coop who aren't here understand what we're talking about.
In the email I sent you, there was like a paragraph.
Okay.
Was
yeah.
That enough? I definitely have more. If you want more, I just don't have.
Yeah, I'll shoot it out to these guys. I'll forward that email out, and if we think we'd like any more information, maybe you could just send me a link or something, and then I can print it out and give it to those guys when they're here, and they can, or I can email it down to Coop, and he can read it when it's raining someday, and he can't play golf, so.
You know, and if you think of any further questions that you have, you know, like after tonight, you're like, oh, why didn't I ask this? Just, you know how to get along. Just reach out. And if I don't know the answer, we can get involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
sounds
I just
good.
Wanted to let you know about
no, thank you. I'm glad you came because you explained it a lot more thoroughly than I could have. So.
Well, have a good night.
You too.
I'm not going to stay for the rest of the day.
Nope.
No,
sorry
about it. Hopefully, we'll be out of here pretty quick.
Have a safe ride home.
Thank you.
Okay. Review and approve orders. Correspondences. Everybody seen the orders?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Town Forest Rec Area Trails Project Update. Continuation of discussions.
Anything?
Nothing.
Good. No big road crew issues, just...
Oh, you got the...
Oh, I'm sorry, the fleet permits.
Yeah.
From Renault Brothers and Valley Crane, which are... They're the same, but different.
You already signed nothing.
Yeah, it's just one signature, yeah. Yeah.
But you usually get a motion.
Make a motion. To approve the fleet permits.
Aye. No. Really too much else. The only road crew really issue that I have in the day-to-day stuff is I did put more signage over by the ski area in the area of Sun Bowl and Mountain Road about parking on the road. We had that one weekend where they were there, and I went and talked to Biggie, who's kind of oversees all of that, and he said that he would put the word out. He said he didn't think they were doing it, and I'm not calling him a liar because I don't think he is at all, but I think they did have a hand in it, because my understanding was some of their parking guys were out there in the road while these people were parking. So I told him we were going to put up more signage, and he said he'd pass the word, but they have parked there since the signs have been up again. So
on the Sun Bowl access road and everything?
Well, no, the Sun Bowl access road I don't care about because it's not my road, but on Mountain Road between the Sun Bowl and Brazier's Way, they'll charge that full of cars.
Yeah.
And even after I put, you know, I've got five signs up between, you know, Brazier's Way. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the same verbiage.
Yeah. Yeah. But pretty recently
you put those up. Yeah. Just within the last like week and a half. About 2 weeks ago, we went over and put those up, and they plugged they parked a bunch of people on the road.
Now, can we tow them or just wing them off?
Well,
it's actually you know you're not really enforcement.
No, I'm not. But the problem is, even if I start calling for a tow truck, it's not realistic to think that somebody's going to come up and tow 45 or 50 cars.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, but I would get Windhall police involved.
Right. But I don't think it would hurt maybe for somebody to talk to Matt, the big guy over there, and just say, you know, this is a problem, and we need to work together on it, and. Maybe he needs to get his light-up boards out on the busy weekends and that says no parking on the road.
Is Matt the guy
who's here? He's the big kahuna. You know, so, you know, maybe we need to just either through an email or I can email Jeff or however we want to do this and just say, you know, we need to get together on this and make sure it doesn't happen because we got President's Week coming up and our ordinance is pretty clear about not parking on the travel portion of the road, you know.
Like I was saying, you know, make sure that Windhall has the ordinance.
And yeah.
They're the enforcement, so they should be the ones telling people not to do it.
Yeah.
Now, just out of curiosity, but why is Windhall the enforcement?
Because in part of the Act 250 permit for the whole ski area was that they would pay for their own policing.
And so they contract
for that whole general area between Windhall and Stratton, and they've always contracted with Windhall Police. So.
Okay.
All right. Now, usually, we sign off on an agreement. I don't remember if it's multi-year or once a year, but usually there's
an
agreement that each of the towns sign off along with the police. Okay. The contract.
Interesting. So that's actually true when they have that by order of the Windhall. No parking by order.
Yeah.
Like you said, you have the Windhall cops over there. They should be able to handle that shit.
Right, yeah. And I mean, maybe if we get the word out, maybe their security guys can keep a little closer eye on it too, you know, and just, you know, nip it in the bud before it starts. And,
yeah, look for it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just the minute the Sun Bowl lot fills up, guess what? They're going to end up on the road.
Yeah.
So take care of it.
Yeah. And that's why I tried to place the sign so. If you come in and do a UE out of the Sun Bowl, there's two of them right there. You know, there's one on that, like, Route 30 sign, and then there's one up on its own post just down. So I'm like, if they can't see this, then, you know, or they probably can see it. They just ignore it.
I was going to say, we're back
like,
to the 19-year-old kid.
Right, you know, and you know, my concern is you know, the day that I went by there, I mean, these people just start dumping their car out in the road. They're loading their duffel bag. They think it's a parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
not a good plan, you know. How do we want, do you want me to just shoot an email out to Jeff and just like,
is it Jeff?
Well, I don't know how to get a hold of Matt. I don't have his contact information.
I was thinking of Mark's.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
Derek's chief now, but, yeah, and I can talk to Derek about it too and just say, hey, you know, but I think we need to, I think the ski area needs to be involved too. So they understand that.
Yeah, we have no way to contact the big guy, huh?
Well, I don't have his contact. There's a way to contact him. I mean, I just don't.
Why don't we ask Al? Because, I mean, he works there. You know.
Like, well, I was going to see if he wanted to go over and talk to him because he's there all the time. Right. And but Al was the one that wanted, well, they can do it on nice days. And it's like, well, no, they can't because we have an ordinance. And
I think your point is the most valid point. Is it's less about, to me, I mean, like, it's a pain in the butt from a plowing standpoint, but when you got, you know, a carload of people dumping out into the road,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden one of Hunter's trucks comes through and maybe, you know, one of our guys is trying to go through,
yeah,
and you got an 8-year-old kid trying to hump their skis somewhere, it's a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when our attorney was Bob Pooh, I remember him saying, you're guilty of not enforcing an ordinance that you have. You know, he said, if you have the ordinance, you really should be informed. You know, I mean, and there was a long story with that about a suit that took place with the town because they had an ordinance that they weren't enforcing.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be the police over there, but I'm just concerned that it's an area where somebody could get hurt because they're just really careless over there, you know. The people parking and the people driving. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind asking Al or
well, it seems to me then probably what would make the most sense is, since we know that the Windhall police are in charge of enforcing it, we just go to them and say, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, like, because I hear where you're at with, like, hey, let's see if we can get Stratton to do it since, you know, maybe they have some involvement in it or whatever, but it's like, hey, you know what?
I do the same thing.
Well,
you're not enforcement.
No, I know.
Right, you're not enforcement.
You don't want to get involved in that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We're not in
trouble, so I would.
Yeah.
We're not enforcement. We have an enforcement arm. We notify the enforcement arm that it needs to be enforced.
Yeah. And I can reach out to Derek. I mean, reaching out to him is no problem.
I think that makes sense.
And then let Jeff Cavagnino can.
And I don't mind sending Matt the email. I just don't have his contact yet. I do have Jeff's. And I know Jeff could put me in touch with him, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I just got to know his email.
I always go through Jeff.
Or I might even be able to find it on their website, too. But, generally, Jeff's kind of my go-to guy. He'll just point me in the right direction who I need to talk to. Jeff's pretty good to work with.
Yeah, I think,
But I'll give Derek a rattle tomorrow.
Who's Derek?
He's the police chief in Windhall.
Yeah, I would start there, and if you want to, you know, reach out to Jeff and say, hey, just a heads up.
Yeah.
We reached out to Derek on this.
Because they're getting some wicked crowds over there. I mean, they're packing.
Yeah, what was it? Yeah, it was
record Saturday, you said?
Well, my buddy down here said that somebody in his niece's ski school program said they set a single day record at like 10,800 and something, which is...
And then one of them drove.
And
by themselves?
Yeah.
But they've really been...
An Escalade.
I think the skiing's really good. They're just getting big crowds.
It's
phenomenal.
Everybody's saying the skiing's just amazing.
Yeah. And like my buddy Manzor said, I've noticed quite a few differences on the mountain since that Matt took over. So the stall making's better. They're making it in places that they haven't before. And said things seem to be, you know. He's getting things fixed. I think the stall making is working better, and he's doing things, I think. And Manzor said you can see it. You know, he said it's,
cool.
You know.
I was surprised when I was hearing comments about it kind of sucked over there. I'm like, this is crazy. They got plenty of water. They got plenty of snow. What's wrong with this picture?
I think the last couple of years, I think, they've had, big blowout on the mountain that they had that really handicapped them, and then that issue down the road where that pipe was leaking all the time. And I think now that they got that fixed, I think they can move a lot more water. And sounded like from what he said, they want to expand into areas they've never had snowmaking either. But All right. Well, other than that, it's just, we're just scraping every inch of snow and every day and sometimes twice a day. But everything's going good there.
That was a pretty snowy day.
It really didn't amount to much, but it was just freaking snowing
all the time.
Unfortunately, we're using a lot of material of both kinds. We're using a lot of sand and a lot of salt. And I'm trying to restrict it as much as we can. Trying to hold back on the salt as much as I can, just because it's so expensive. But
it is what it is.
Yeah. I'm going to be interested to see what the prices do next year, because there's kind of an issue in the Northeast now. Apparently, one of the big mines over in the lakes there kind of flooded. I think the mine broke, and I think Lake Erie may be dumping into it. So now the guy that supplies us is filling like 300 trucks a day out of his facility, and a lot of them are going to like Buffalo and Syracuse because American rock salt is dead in the water, apparently. And they're getting a lot of winter out there, too. So our guy that delivered today was telling me, he said, you have to wait sometimes 3 hours to get loaded over there. Sure, and that cuts into your profit. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what the... And maybe it won't affect it. I don't know. Maybe they'll be able to correct their problem or whatever it is. But anyway, but there's still a fair amount of winter left, unfortunately. So... But we'll do what we can do.
Yeah, we're really just getting warmed up.
Yeah, I know.
February and March.
But.
Even April.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then I don't know, maybe you talked about it at the meeting I was gone, but did you have an update on Scott?
Oh, last week.
We did.
Oh, okay, because I missed that meeting. I didn't know if you talked about it.
Last week he had some dental stuff going on. So, and I think he's got one more doctor's visit.
Okay.
He really wants, what we talked about at that meeting, he wants to...
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if you and I had talked about that since that meeting or not. So, but other than that, there's really not that much with the roads. Consider authorization for the treasurer to sign an agreement with Municipay for accepting electronic payments to the town.
And there's no charge for the town. This is just an
right. That's what I was going to say. It doesn't. We don't lose any money on it. Right?
No. Whatever it costs.
Zero cost.
Taxpayer, whoever wants to pay using
above
it.
Above and beyond.
It's like a 3%.
Right.
If you guys want to see this, here it is.
But if you agree to it, a motion.
Allison.
Motion was second.
Please authorize.
Make the motion.
Motion made.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
And then just one signature that she needed on it. Probably on the opposite.
Love it.
All together now.
Okay, that's done. Consider town hall and rec area requests.
So just the only thing new is this Pathfinders February 15th for write-in.
Yeah.
They just wanted the town's blessing.
Okay. No new town hall stuff. Okay. Cool. It's done. Review, consider approval of the selectmen's minutes of 127.
So moved.
All in favor? Any other business that may legally come before the board?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Yep. Second.
All in favor?
Somebody's probably.